Hey everyone, it's Troy here. And we are well aware that anything ever said or done at Safe Haven Church that helps anyone grow in their affections for Christ is by grace alone, and Christ receives all glory and honor for it. So thank you. Thanks for clicking online and joining us in the study of this portion of God's Word. And if this proves to be a valuable resource to your gospel discipleship, would you consider giving to the ongoing ministries of Safe Haven Church? It's very simple. You can do so online at www.safehaven.church/give. And lastly, as we often pray in our gatherings together, may you be more encouraged in Christ's sufficiency after you finish this sermon than you were before you listened to it or watched it.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. My name is Jarrett Shepherd. I'm on staff here at Safe Haven. If you're a first-time guest, we are so glad you were here. Glad you were here with us today. And we are continuing our journey through Ecclesiastes, and we get to chapter 7. And if you, last week, remember Troy said that Solomon started rambling last week, you ain't seen nothing yet. We've got a lot of rambling today in chapter 7. In fact, so much that we looked at it as a teaching team and we were thinking, what in the world are we thinking covering all this in one day? So I'm the lucky guy. Here we go. We got chapter 7. And to put some context into what's going on here, kind of get your frame of mind ready. Think about when you were growing up, you may have used to go and hang out with your grandparents or aunts and uncles. You may go and just hang out for the day. I remember my grandparents moved back close when I was about 8th or 9th grade. We were talking to Audrey and Stella this week. About the time when you sleep till 10:30 at 11 o'clock every day in the summer, my granddad would sometimes show up and his cane would wake me up about 10 o'clock and be like, come on, boy, we got stuff to do. We go cut grass, eat lunch, and we would talk and gain all kinds of advice and wisdom, right? It just, those grandfathers, aunts, and uncles, maybe they would just start talking to you. You ask them questions, and then one thing leads to another, and then this thing, and this thing, and this thing. And about 98% of it, you probably forgot. But there may have been 2% on a good day that stuck with you, right? Or a lot of times, if you were like me, you would have responded, and that person may have said, I'm glad you're here to tell me exactly what to do, because we wouldn't be able to do it without you. Me being 8th and 9th grade, and them being older and more wise than I, for sure. So that's what we have today. We have some ramblings. Solomon is just looking back, thinking, and he is offering up practical advice for us to live a good life, okay? So today is very practical. It's going to take some mental energy for you. We've got 29 verses. We're going to go right through them, and it's going to be boom, 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 all the way through. Are you ready? Let's go. Let's do it. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 1. A good name is better than precious ointment. Integrity over impression. Your integrity is more important than your impression. It's about how people remember you and not how you present yourself. Wealth and beauty fade, but a good name endures. And the day of death, then the day of birth. It's the completed versus the potential. A life well lived is more important than a life that's just starting. The day of birth presents unlimited possibilities and outcomes, right? But the day of death presents a completed story that you can understand, that you can remember, that you can honor. It's better to go to the house of mourning than to go to the house of feasting, for this is the end of all mankind, and the living will lay it to heart. At funerals, people reflect. At parties, they escape. We learn so much more from adversity than we do from the pleasures. True wisdom is gained through life's trials and tribulations. We keep going, we learn, we move forward. Sorrow is better than laughter, for by sadness of face, the heart is made glad. Sorrow refines our hearts. Sorrow refines our hearts. Shared sorrow with someone conjures up a deeper connection, right? A deeper connection happens in sorrow and impacts us way more than sitting around by the fire pit and laughing. Now, I love a good fire pit time. I love it. Good things happen around the fire pit. We laugh, we tell stories, and there's connections. But when sorrow happens and you get in that together, it's a way more deep connection. It's a way deeper connection. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, verse 4. But the heart of fools is in the house of mirth. The wise embrace mortality. The fools live in escape. And I would love to hang out here for the next 30 minutes if we could, because this has been our story for 2 years, right? And here's my one sticking piece of advice with this. When Eden was called home, many people offered up advice, right? Many people offered advice, and some of them said, hey, it always helps to stay busy, be distracted, keep your mind off things. Don't run from it. Sit in it. Embrace it. Think about it. When you're in the house of mourning, you sit and you think and you contemplate. Contemplate your life, that person's life, other people's lives, and you find your meaning. We find understanding and we find our meaning in the house of mourning. Verse 5, it is better for a man to hear the rebuke of the wise than to hear the songs of fools. Learn to love wise corrections. Though it may hurt in the moment, it may be tough in the moment, but it's rooted in love. It's rooted in truth. And they're just trying to help you grow. And growth happens outside of comfort, right? So learn to love wise corrections. Verse 6, for as the crackling of thorns under a pot, so is the laughter of the fools. This is also vanity. Laughter's fleeting. Laughter is fleeting. It lacks depth, produces nothing, fades quickly, like a dry Christmas tree. Every Christmas, it seems that we wind up at the crow's house to watch Alabama basketball or football, and that Christmas tree is good and dry, and it's time to set it on fire. It's Troy's favorite thing, if he was there. And what happens when you light that dry Christmas tree? Immediately, shoo, burns, ignites, fast, hot, loud, but then it quickly fades out, right? That's laughter. Verse 7, surely oppression drives the wise into madness and a bribe corrupts the heart. Guard your heart. Church, everyone in here is in some position of influence. Guard your heart. Be watchful. Even the most well-meaning leaders can be driven to bitterness or corruption under the pressure of constant injustice. So guard your heart. Stand firm. Verse 8, bitter is the end of a thing than its beginning. A wedding. A wedding's fantastic. My wedding day was awesome. It was the greatest celebration. I would go do it 100 times over again. We had a great time. It was a great celebration. But think about a long marriage. The wedding is the celebration. The long-lasting marriage is the testimony. It leaves a legacy. Better is the end than its beginning. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Pride wants results now. Our pride wants results now. But patience trusts consistency. Things that matter most take time. Be patient. Verse 10, say not, why were the former days better, or why were the former days better than these? For it is not from wisdom that you ask this. Longing for the past prevents you from living in the present. The good days, the good old days, are indeed a good thing. And they're to be treasured and remembered, but they're also to be learned from. The story is not done. It keeps going. Don't let longing for the past prevent you from living in the present and realizing the opportunities, the responsibilities, and the blessings that you have in the here and now. Wisdom is good with an inheritance, an advantage to those who see the sun. An inheritance of wealth, property, legacy are all good things, but when it's paired with wisdom, that becomes a lasting advantage. Wisdom multiplies value. It guides how to use, how to protect, and how to grow what you've been given. For the protection of wisdom is like the protection of money, and the advantage of knowledge is that wisdom preserves the life of him who has it. Knowledge and wisdom preserve life. Wisdom helps to navigate challenges, guide our decisions, avoid danger. And typically, if you're wise, it will prevent you from reciting the redneck's famous last words, right? Hey, y'all, watch this. Wisdom and knowledge preserve life. Consider the work of God. Who can make straight what he has made crooked? In the day of prosperity, be joyful. And in the day of adversity, consider God has made the one as well as the other, so that man may not find out anything that will be after him. God is sovereign. And I know we say that all the time here. And it's true. It is. And sometimes we have to pray, God, I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I may not even really like it, but Lord, I trust you, and I trust what you're doing. You don't have to have the answers for everything. Sometimes you just got to learn to accept it for what it is and go forward. Keep moving. God's doing something, even though you can't see it. He's doing something. Keep going. God is in control. In my vain life, I've seen everything. There's a righteous man who perishes in his righteousness, and there's a wicked man who prolongs his life in evil doing. Life is not fair. It was an anthem in the Shepherd household growing up from my dad. We used to have to go out and pick up pine cones. We had these great big pine trees and pick up pine cones, and sometimes my older brother would get out of it, and I had to go do it, and I'd be throwing a fit because I had to go pick up pine cones, mad as all get out. That's not fair, Dad. Life's not fair, son. Life's not fair. Get used to it. Life's not fair. Who are we to think we're owed anything anyway, right? Life is not fair. Verse 16, be not overly righteous and do not make yourself too wise. Why should you destroy yourself? Be not overly wicked, neither be a fool. Why should you die before your time? It is good that you should take hold of this. And from that, withhold not your hand, it's a tongue twister there, for the one who fears God shall come out from both of them. Mortify your moral superiority. Mortify your moral superiority and walk in grace. Walk in grace. Fear God, stay humble, stay faithful. That's the path to life. Verse 19, wisdom gives strength to the wise man more than 10 rulers who are in a city. Pursue wisdom over position, right? Pursue wisdom over position. Wisdom quietly wins. Takes restraint not to just blast everything out on Facebook. Inner strength, it takes that. That's what God wants, inner strength. Exercise inner strength. Pursue wisdom over position. Do not take heart all the things that people say, lest you hear your servant cursing you. Your heart knows that many times you yourself have cursed others. Walk in peace and thick skin. If you are so concerned about what other people are saying about you, newsflash, you are doing more harm to yourself than anything. It hurts. I know it does. But if you sit there and just think about that, and you're constantly worried about what other people are saying, you are harming yourself more than anything. Don't listen to gossip. Don't listen to the chatter. Extend grace where grace has been given to you, because, let's be honest, I have, we all have, said some reactionary things in the heat of the moment. Extend grace. Be gracious. Don't listen to the gossip. All this I have tested by wisdom, I said, and I will be wise, but it was far from me. That which has been far off and deep, very deep, who can find it out? Life's ultimate truths, such as why things happen or what God is doing, is far beyond our finite grasp. Far beyond our finite grasp. So the more you know, the more you realize you don't know. It's beyond us. Don't worry about it. That's okay. Trust, walk, move forward. Verse 25. I turned my heart to know and to search out and to seek wisdom in the scheme of things and to know the wickedness of folly and the foolishness that is madness. And I find something more bitter than death. You can underline that right there. That's a key phrase right there. Underline, more bitter than death. The woman whose heart is snares and nets and whose hands are fetters. He who pleases God escapes her, but the sinner is taken by her. One man, one woman in marriage. That's God's design. One man, one woman in marriage. And the reality is, unrestrained intimacy was just as prevalent in Solomon's day than it is in our day here in 2025. You can find opportunities offered by men and women abound for costless pleasures at any moment. At any moment. But let me draw you back to verse 26 again. Unrestrained intimacy is what? It's more bitter than death. The momentary pleasure is not worth it. It's not worth the brokenness. It's not worth the family destruction. It's not worth the emotional stress. It's not worth it. It was once said by someone who had failed in adultery, said, "I won't lie. The most passionate and exciting moments I've ever had was while engaged in an extramarital relationship." And then that person added, through their tears and brokenness, "But it was no way worth the mental trap, the emotional fallout, the family destruction, and the chains that had me bound. Could not worship. I was a fraud. I was absolutely shattered." Absolutely shattered. Unrestrained intimacy, just like it says here in the verse, is truly like a fish caught in a net, scooped out of the water, just flapping around, suffocating for all to see. So men in the room, be on guard. Be on guard. Women, be on guard. Examine your life. Are there any habits, temptations, relationships, sins that are drawing you in? It's a good thing to examine your life and to think. And then pray for the wisdom to see through the seduction of it. Pray for the strength to get yourself out of it. Get you somebody that you can talk to, openly and honest about it, and do it. Talk openly and honest with somebody about it. Warring against temptation and sin is not easy. It's a fight. It's an all-out brawl every day you're on this earth. It's an all-out brawl. But it's worth it. It's worth the fight. It's worth it. So as a concerned and caring shepherd of this flock, hear me out, concerned and caring shepherd of the flock, chances are somebody may be in an affair right now. If that's you, please let us help. Please let us help get you out of it. Jim Delver is available to talk anytime. You can go to our website. You can get access to his schedule, no questions asked, and talk with him. I'm available anytime to talk. Troy Nicholson, available anytime to talk. We have two female deacons available anytime to talk. It's serious business. It's serious stuff. And we want to help. We want to get you out of that snare. We want to get you out of that net if you will let us help you. We will walk with it. We will talk through it. We will counsel through it. And we will do everything we can to help you by God's grace to get you out of that net if you will join us in that walk. It's serious stuff. Verse 27. Behold, this is what I found, says the preacher. While adding one thing to another to find the scheme of things, which my soul has sought repeatedly, but I have not found. One man among a thousand I found, but a woman among all these I have not found. See, this alone I found, that God made man upright, but they have sought out many schemes. Solomon has been searching the whole book for the meaning of life, right? He's looked for it in wisdom, looked for it in his possessions, he looked for it in his kingdom, and now he's looked for it across all the people in this kingdom. And what does he find? Failures. They failed. And why did they fail? Because they were misusing their freedom. They were using the freedom that God had given them for their own glorification instead of his glorification. Worship is the highest use of our freedom on this green earth. God has graciously given us freedom to go and do and enjoy life on the earth. And in everything we do, we should use it as an act of worship for his grace in our life. Don't misuse your freedom. Use it to worship him in all that you do. So that's chapter 7. Straight to the point, ramblings. No coherency, just boom, 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 boom. Chapter 7. What do we do with that? What do we do with this text in Northport, June the 29th of 2025? I think we got a threefold application here. We just walked through 22 Proverbs from the divinely inspired ramblings of Solomon, who, as Jim coined one night, that I think we've said it before, had the mind of Bill Gates and the money of Elon Musk. He's a pretty sharp dude. And if this is what he says, it would be advantageous for us to listen, right? We can take these 22 steps and we could put them into action in our life, and it should help us. This is as close as you're going to get to a self-help sermon at Safe Haven today. It would do us well to do some of these things. It would enhance our life, absolutely. Listen to his advice. Go, do, and worship. Number two, Solomon's charge to live the good life is true for both unbelievers and believers. Unbelievers will find earthly goodness in chasing wisdom. Unbelievers will find earthly goodness chasing wisdom. But believers will find earthly goodness, but also an eternal purpose. They will find their eternal purpose to glorify God in all that they do. So how do we do that as believers? How do we glorify God in all that we do? Just like we've taken this practical advice and we're going to put it into action, we can do the same. We can do the same. It's called discipleship. It's called life on life. Doing things together. Encouraging each other. Using our shared experiences to teach other people and to help them grow. So, young people in the room. Young people in the room. Find somebody who is older than you that you can talk to and hang out with and learn from. Ask them questions. Ask them about the story of their life. Ask them about their experiences in their work and in their worship and in their family life. And learn from them. Learn from them. Those are good things. Experience is a good thing, and we can all learn from it. For you people who are more sage, we'll call it, make yourself available. Make yourself available to the younger people. Find some folks to invest in. Invest your life in them. Teach them. Help guide them. Help them to understand and see where God is doing things in their lives. It's a good thing to invest in other people. And then you in-between crowd, and there's a lot of us. I would consider a lot of us in the in-between crowd. We should do both. We should do both. We should find younger people, give our life away to them, invest in them, help them understand, help to teach them what's going on. Say, hey, I did this. Maybe you should try this. Help the younger people. But then also, find somebody older than you. Spend time with them. Go grab the coffee. Have them over for lunch or dinner. Learn. Use their experiences that they've had to help enhance your life. It's a good thing. It's a good thing. You can do that individually. You can do that groups. You can do that being a part of a community group. You can start a community group. You can serve in kids. All kinds of ways to help disciple each other and push each other forward. And then lastly, and this is the sobering reminder of the day. If you didn't notice, we skipped verse 20. Verse 20, surely there is not a righteous man on earth who does good and never sins. Honoring these practical proverbs are going to help lead to a good life. But if you refuse to confess your sin, repent of your sin, and walk in newness of life alongside Jesus and trust in his finished work, your good life one day is going to give way to a real crummy eternity. A real crummy eternity. Solomon saw it a long, long time ago, way before Paul entered the scene. Surely there's not a righteous man. Romans 3:23, right? For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one is righteous. You cannot earn your righteousness into the kingdom of heaven. So we can do all these things, and we can have a good life, and we can enjoy ourselves under the sun, but one day we're going to go above the sun, right? And we're going to have the opportunity to enjoy the sun if we trust in him here. So if you are an unbeliever in the room today, it is my plea that you would surrender your life to Christ today. Cling to Christ and his sufficiency today and his finished work on the cross on your behalf, because he came, fulfilled the law that you couldn't, did everything necessary for you to get into eternity because you couldn't, and all you have to do is trust in him today. Do it today. Confess your sin, repent, walk in freshness and newness of life with him today, and find your hope in what is above the sun. 2 Corinthians verse 5 and verse 20, or chapter 5 and verse 21 says, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The only way to become righteous is to cling to Christ and trust in him today. Today.